I'm William Tommy Pratt, Lebron, Kentucky.
Alright. And today's June 26th, 1998. Alright, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. When you attended Hyman High School, and you went there in the 8th grade also?
8th grade in Hyman High School.
You commuted, right? Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. How did you learn about the settlement school in Hyman High School?
Well,
it's just
a local thing, and everybody knew about it.
Everybody knew
locally.
About it. Yeah. Did any other members of your family attend the settlement school or Hyman High School?
Well, my brother, Brandon Pratt, my sister, Geraldine, and my sister, Christine, all went to it.
So everybody, all your brothers and sisters did also?
Yeah. Everybody in this school district went to Hyman High School. Of course, at that time, they had Caney High School, and then they still got Cordia, and they had Car Creek.
That was a big rivalry back then, too, wasn't it?
Car Creek and Hyman.
Car Creek and Hyman, yeah.
Basketball.
What are classes that you had? Do any of them stand out in your mind?
Well, I always thought more of Betty Combs, my English teacher, and Coach Pearl Combs, my math teacher.
can you tell me a little bit about them?
Well, I don't know. Everybody liked them. I'll take that back. Seemed like the boys liked Betty better than the girls did. But I reckon everybody liked Pearl. That was her husband.
Okay.
Pearl and Betty was husband and wife.
And Pearl was also the basketball coach?
He was the basketball coach.
Were you involved in the extracurricular activities while you were at school, like basketball or anything like that?
No, but we did have different programs. In other words, I don't remember now just what to call it. But anyhow, on the settlement school there on the hill,
yeah,
they had recreation there.
Okay.
And dancing, folk dancing song. And I was in a class of that at one time.
Could you tell me a little bit about that? That sounds interesting.
Well, it just... so long, you know. You went over there for about 30 minutes or something. Everybody went in a group, went up on the hill there. And I don't know, the building's still there. He had big wagon wheels with electric lights, about six in that wheel, hanging from the ceiling.
No, I think that one's not there anymore. Really. And that's where y'all did folk dancing?
Mm-hmm.
This was a class?
Well, it was a...
Or part of a class?
It wasn't a subject now.
Yeah.
It was just... something like homeroom and so on, you know, where each one had certain things that they done for recreation. And I took that folk dance and went on the hill over. And of course, it didn't last long.
Oh, the actual class?
Well, in hours.
Yeah.
It wasn't a full hour class.
It was a pretty short class?
Yeah.
Do you ever do any work for the settlement of any kind?
Yes and no. I didn't. At the settlement for the Board of Education.
Okay. Tell me about it, though.
Well, I helped paint that grade school there in Hyman. And it was a settlement's building.
Yeah.
And my brother had a paint sprayer, and they had one. And there was three of us. Arm Waddles or Waddell, my brother Brandon and myself, we spray paint the whole inside of that building. White.
White.
And we would work for the Board of Education.
But it's on the settlements.
But it was a settlements building.
No,
And that was about 46, I guess, just after coming out of service. And my dad done a lot of work for him. He helped build Hyman High School. He helped build what's that learning school they got there now in the old library building?
It's called the James Still Learning Center now.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Well.
It had a different name, I'm sure, back then.
It was a library.
Yeah.
And my dad helped do the carpenter work on it. Of course, he didn't do no stonework, but he helped do the carpenter work. And he worked some, I reckon, at the settlement school there. And I was telling you about painting this building to graduate.
Yeah, okay. Tell me about that.
Okay, I dropped my spray gun and broke the handle. I went down to see Miss Watts because I'd been using her spray gun.
Yeah.
Asked to borrow it, and I told her I dropped mine. She said, "You might drop mine." I said, "That's true of mine, but I said, I've used yours. I used it on that grade school building over, and she let me borrow it."
Okay, so did you know Miss Watts a little?
A little, yeah.
Tell me about her and your experiences with her.
Well, I just know her when I've seen her and so on, and I have spoke to her. That's about it.
That's about it? Never really?
I wasn't real personal acquainted with them, like a lot of the kids that stayed in the school or something like that.
Yeah. Now, your sister was telling me that she had known Mae Stone, or done some stuff with her. Did you ever meet Miss Stone?
I've just seen her, all.
You just saw her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I think you can provide a different aspect of this that most people I've talked to so far haven't. Now, when you were in high school, the war was going on, correct? Or it started?
I was there when they talked about the first day of school and they declared war and so on.
On the first day?
Well, it wasn't the first day of school. But
that's the first thing
you talked about? She was on Monday.
Yeah.
The school. Well, the bomb was on Sunday, you see.
Oh, okay.
And on Monday following the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
Do you remember that day?
I remember the day. And I guess anybody else that was in school there remembered it. Just like when Kennedy was shot.
Yeah. What was the atmosphere at school that day? What was it like?
I don't know how to explain it, but in other words, Pearl Harbor was a long way off then. It's not, the world's getting smaller now.
Yeah.
And in other words, news didn't travel like it does today. And of course, it was on the radio and we knew it.
But you couldn't see the pictures.
We didn't see the picture. We didn't have no TVs.
Yeah. Now, even though you couldn't see the picture, was there still a sense of almost vulnerability or something that the U.S. had been attacked?
Well, yeah.
It made you...
In other words, you just didn't know what to think, or I didn't. In other words, we was in war, and...
Did you ever think that that was possible, though, that the U.S. would be attacked?
No, at that time, I never thought about war. That was one of the farthest things from my mind, was war.
Yeah. Could you tell me about... I know you entered the service after a while, correct?
Now what?
You went into the service, didn't you? To the Army or the Air Force?
Yeah.
Tell me about that. Tell me about your experiences with that.
Well, I went 2 years to high school.
Okay.
I quit went to Newport News Shipbuilding and Dry Dock Company in Newport News, Virginia. Worked in the shipyard. I helped build the Essex and the Yorktown, two big, large aircraft carriers at that day.
That were also at a Battle of Midway, I believe.
Well, now,
the Yorktown was.
Right? Yorktown was sunk there. This was the second Yorktown.
Oh, this is the second one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I helped build the Essex before that, and then the Yorktown. And I worked on two cruisers, large cruisers, Birmingham and Mobile. I worked on a lot of conversion jobs where they made the small aircraft carriers out of regular ships.
Yeah.
And these LST, the landing crash, where they put the tanks in and drive up to the coast and let the front of the ship down and run the tanks out.
Yeah.
And I helped build several of them. And then I come home, volunteered for, well, drafting, was drafting, went in service. And I took basic training, Amarillo, Texas. Took Army Aircraft Mechanics at Gulfport, Mississippi. Took Douglas Aircraft Factory School at Long Beach, California. And took Aerial Engineer School, Sedalia, Missouri. And then I flew overseas. And while I was in service, though, one time, it's comical in a way, there's a bunch of us from Sedalia, Missouri, went to Pope Phil, Fort Bragg, North Carolina, picked up a bunch of airplanes. We had several crews went down there, and each crew got an airplane and brought them back to Sedalia, Missouri. Well, the crew I was with, the pilot was from Lexington, Kentucky. He had a girlfriend there. So we come back and we flew over here, and I asked the pilot if he'd buzz it. And he said, "Where is it?" And I said, "Straight below us." And he circled around here. I showed him the house I lived in, and then he went across down about the pick pack there on the other side over into Right Fork. Crossed over and head of Mill Creek here and come down Mill Creek right over Lebron here. And there's one boy, he was over here. He run and fell in a ditch.
He saw y'all.
Billy Vanderpool was at Alonzo Allen's store there in Lebron. He run for the possum trot culvert. He thought he was going to crash on him or something. He told some of them, said, "Boy, said, you'd be surprised how fast one of them planes can overtake a man running."
They didn't think there
was one woman living on Mill Creek. She had several kids. She grabbed one, run out in the yard with it, left the others in the house.
they didn't think they were being attacked, did they?
They didn't know what it was. Elvin Watts, he lived on Possum Trot at that time. He come down and got in his vehicle to come down to see where we crashed at. Next day, my sister was on the bus going to Hazard, and some woman from Ogden down there was talking. Said the airplane went over. Said, "Why, it was so low." Said it was just parting the timber.
She didn't know at the time you were in it, though, did she?
No. And of course, I went on to Lexington, and we picked up a officer at Fort Braves. Hitching a ride to Louisville. And when we buzzed this, he didn't know it. And that scared him, because he was back in the back. And we didn't tell him we was going to buzz it. And then went to Lexington. This pilot flew over Lexington and worked a prop pitch back and forth. That changes the RPM of the engine, you see, and that's just like racing a car engine. And all that noise of racing. His girlfriend, he went to the airport and landed, and she was there waiting on him. That was his signal. When he
that,
and
so she knew when she heard that from the plane that that was him on. I'm saying the system worked out.
When we went in there, that pilot, he He was a glider pickup instructor. That's where they put these stakes in the ground and fly with the hook on the airplane and hook that nylon rope and jerk a glider off the ground and go on with it. And that was his job, trained pilots to do that. And he was a good pilot. And when he went into Lexington, he went down so fast. When he pulled out, that officer looked over at me and said, "I like the blacked out." Said, "How about you?" He got scared. He got off the plane. Wasn't going to go on to Louisville.
At least not with you all?
Well, he got out there in Lexington. But the pilot went on to Louisville and talked him into going. Co-pilot stayed there in Lexington. The pilot went on to Louisville. Filled out papers where he stayed all night there. Then we come back to Lexington and stayed all night.
Flew back down that night?
What?
You went up to Louisville, filled out the papers, and then flew back?
Yeah. And when we went to Louisville, when we got the airplane, I checked all the tanks. There was three of them full. One of them was half full. And I told the pilot. And, of course, we all forgot about it. When we went in to Louisville for a landing, he had the wheels down, flaps down, and just a little few feet off the runway, and the right engine quit, and the left one pulled us over to the side of the runway. He grabbed the tank switch, I grabbed the wobble pump, started pumping it. We started up, circled around, come in again.
What happened? Did it run out of gas on that side?
Run out of the gas in that one tank. See, there's 202 gallon in the front, two front tanks, 204 and 202 in the back tanks. And we had three tanks full, but one of the front tanks was only half full when we got the plane. And that ran out of gas. All he did was switch the tanks and started the engine up and we went on around. But I bet that pilot officer was scared to death.
I would have scared me to death. Planes. Planes can be frightening.
What is from there?
All right. Before you went into the service, your 2 years while you were at Hyman High School, when you, those 2 years, was the war going on at that time?
Now when?
When you were a freshman and a sophomore in high school.
Sophomore it was. Yeah.
Did anything kind of change between your freshman and sophomore year due to the war?
I don't know if there's much change. It's about the same.
I bet, did you see a lot of people though drop out of, not really drop out, but leave high school and go to,
no, because now they was probably more dropped out when I did, you see. But the war was just first declared there.
Okay.
And see, that's 41 when it was declared. Well, 42 is when I went to Newport News, Virginia. And there's a lot of people already going into service and so on that wasn't in school. That was before the war started. They started the draft and so on.
Did y'all ever have any special activities that you did at the settlement school? Now, did they have May Day back? They didn't have the May Day festival then?
I don't remember it.
I think your sister was talking, but it might have started up a year or two after you were out.
Well, it might have been then. It might have been on the weekend or something, you see. I just don't remember.
What was town like at that time? Describe town for me.
Hyman was booming.
It was booming. What do you mean by that?
There was people in Hyman. The streets was always had people on them. Now, at 5 o'clock, they ain't nobody on the streets. You had the hotels, and you had the drug stores, which was patent medicine. It wasn't prescription drugs, but it was a gathering place. They had a fountain, you know, and the kids gathered there, and you'd get hot dogs and hamburgers, and then where the drugstore is in Hyman, you had Palace Lunch, and the kids danced in there. They had a piccolo, and of course they had food, and you had two pool rooms in Hyman with six tables, three in each one. And when I went to school, I took my money and went to the pool room. If I won my games, I'd grab me something to eat and went back to school. If I lost, I went back to school.
would you skip school and go play?
No.
Or would you go?
We went to lunch at Hyman. In other words, you didn't have lunch rooms then.
You had to get your own lunch.
Yeah.
And you
some of them brought their lunches, yeah. And some went to Hyman.
And you'd go to Hyman and sometimes
I'd go run for the pool room. And then if I won my game, see, I'd have my money left. If I lost,
I didn't
have no money.
Would you play your buddies for money or just for?
No, the loser had to pay the game.
Oh, okay.
In other words, if two was playing here, the loser had to pay for the game. The winner didn't have to pay nothing. And I said, if I won my games, it didn't cost me nothing.
So if you won your games, you'd go get lunch.
I'd grab a little something to eat on the way back to school.
Was Knott County wet or dry at that time?
It was wet.
It was wet. Did that make it different?
The town being different? I guess that made it boom more by being wet. People in Hyman, and they had beer and whiskey. And you probably heard about the big shootout they had in Hyman.
I've not heard of this one.
Well, there was a few of them killed. One fella was killed walking along the street.
How'd it get started?
I don't know, but they was a hall boy from Caney, and I think he tried to arrest him or something, but anyhow, he ended up with a shooting match, and seemed like he was about three killed.
So, could town be a... At that time, could town be a dangerous place to go sometimes?
Well, I didn't think about it as being dangerous. Of course, it might have been, but...
Never really considered it dangerous.
It wasn't considered dangerous.
At those times.
Like that fella was walking along the street and got killed. But that's the only time it happened.
Yeah. That wasn't a common thing. Do you remember any good friends that stick out in your mind while you were at Hyman?
Not in particular. Of course, I had several friends. I guess everybody else did.
No best friend, though? That.
Not one in particular, I don't guess.
Well, what would be the things that you and your friends at that time would do, like, together for fun?
Well, you were just there during the school, and you caught the bus coming back home, and you were just going from class to class.
Would you all ever get together after school, though, and go do stuff?
No, you didn't have time. And school turned out, you caught the bus.
Well, I mean, did y'all ever get together on your own after school?
Well, no, because I came home. They went to their home. We was all separated.
wasn't really, you couldn't really go to the other person's house, could you? Because then you'd have to.
No, I guess not.
It'd been difficult to get back home afterwards.
You had study hall used together. And then use the classes together. But you didn't have, you'd have one class with some of them, another class with somebody else, so.
Did they ever have any after school activities? I mean, like big activities? Like where the people in school would stay after and get together to do stuff?
You had to catch a bus home.
Like basketball games and stuff like that.
You went home, then you went back to the basketball game. And then, were they like a Breathitt County? They took a bus, but you had to, you didn't go from school to the basketball game. Went home and then went.
Yeah. So if there's a game after school, y'all wouldn't just kind of hang around and wait till the game?
No, you went home.
you went home first.
And back then, most people had a job to do at home.
Oh, did you have chores to do when you got home?
In the winter, you had to get kiln coal in. We had calves we fed. We had something to do. Everybody worked. And you was lucky to have any money to spend.
That's what I was asking about jobs earlier, because I know sometimes. Well, I know all the kids who stayed at the settlement had to do a job.
Right.
But some people would stay, who, even though they didn't stay on the settlement school, could sometimes get jobs at the settlement school working for a little.
Well, no. All kids were different, you see. If a man worked in the mines, his kids didn't have to do much. If he's working on the farm, the kids had to work. In other words, you raise most of what you eat. And I know we always raised a bunch of corn. He'd buy calves in the fall, and we'd winter them. And we'd have 4, 6, 7 calves to winter. Then when spring come, he'd sell them and make a profit on them.
And you said, now the coal miners' kids, is that what you were saying, usually didn't have to work?
They wasn't many of them, but they were a few coal miner kids.
Was that because the coal miners were making real good money at that time, or?
Well, most kids didn't work unless they had a leader. And if the husband or their father was working in the mines, he wasn't leading them.
Oh, so they didn't have to do as much.
In other words, they didn't raise corn. A lot of them didn't raise a garden. In other words, he was working in the mines. And now that wasn't no easy job. I remember a feller come out of Mill Creek here. He'd catch the bus around 2 o'clock in the morning going over into Floyd County to the mines.
I don't know if I could handle that. So he'd catch the bus in the morning at 2?
Time has changed.
Yeah, just a bit. Just a bit. Has the Hyman Settlement School, and I'm using the Hyman Settlement School along with the Hyman High School, and just talking about that all together, since the Settlement School provided so much, you know, for the high school. Do you think it had any impact on your life?
Well, I guess in a way, because I had manual training, and they furnished the machinery and the instructor for manual training. And of course, my dad had just about any hand tool you wanted, but didn't have no power tools. We had no electricity.
How about the impact of the settlement on this area as a whole? Has it done anything for the area?
I'd say quite a bit. Now, a lot of these little country stores, in the winter, people didn't have good hen houses. Their chickens didn't lay much. But in the summer, when it warmed up, they started laying. It wasn't enough for eggs to be 60 cents a dozen in the wintertime and 10, 15 cents a dozen in the summer. And a lot of people carried eggs and even garden stuff to the settlement school and sold it.
So people would get together at the settlement to sell stuff?
No, the settlement bought it.
Oh, would buy it from them?
In other words, they had their kitchen, see, and their... Their students they fed and so on.
So did they help out some of the farmers around here?
I'd say they did. And I know, in fact, I have carried eggs to the settlement school for a grocery store to sell.
Did they grow a lot of their own food?
Well, they growed some, but...
They couldn't do it all.
No. And, they had a gardener, Doc Pratt, garden farm in that bottom between the ball field you was talking about there, down towards the bridge going over to the settlement. And that's where Uncle Saw's cabin was, right in the middle of that garden. And they tore it down, moved it over to where it is now.
Yeah.
More or less on campus, I guess.
On the main part of the campus. Yeah. It was still on settlement school property. They just moved it.
Right. It flooded. See, all that property floods.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. How was that? How often would that bottom flood with those buildings?
Well, not bad, but it'd flood pretty often.
Can you ever remember not being able to go to school because it was flooded down there?
No, not in particular. But I know one of the biggest floods we had was July the 8th, 1942, right here. And then in 57, when they had such a big flood and hazard and Big Sandy, Trebleton didn't even get out of its banks.
When you had the big flood in 42, what did it do in Hindman? Did it cover any of the stuff up down there?
Why, is in the businesses there in Hindman on Main Street. And it's been in those businesses more than once there in Hindman. Where the damn bridge is there.
Yeah.
Cover Main Street all the way down through there now. But I'd say down close to Jill Alley there, it'd cover Main Street.
So it'd get up pretty high.
And in other words, up right at the bridge, it'd probably be 3 feet over Main Street.
Stop this for a second.